Ladies and gentlemen.
Make some noise. Let's go.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Ladies and Gentlemen podcast, the only podcast that is giving you the hot takes of the SNL musical performances. My name is Artemis. Thank you so much for joining me. This is a strange episode, I'm not going to lie, but in like the best way possible. I definitely felt more like maybe an early 90s episode, maybe late 90s episode, just with some of the content, but Kieran Culkin brought it, ladies and gentlemen. And his musical guest, the Foo Fighters, or was it Jack Black? Who's to say? Oh, I know. It was Ed Sheeran. Ed Sheeran, back to the show. Turns out, he's fine. COVID did not affect him like we all thought it would. And you know what? That's good. I'm happy he's healthy, but I would be lying if I didn't say I wasn't really looking forward to reviewing this episode. But we'll get into that later. So yeah, this was a bit of a strange episode, the strangest of which I believe would be the pre-tape. There was a surprise pre-tape called The Jockey. Let's have a listen to that.
Yep, that's me, riding a horse like a skateboard. You're probably wondering how I wound up here. Well, it's kind of a crazy story, and it goes a little something like this. So there I was, doing skate tricks at the park. Then I jumped with too much force, and I landed on a horse.
Great Scott!
If I lean right or left, he'd follow my every move. And if I wanted him to go faster, I'd just give him a bag of chips. We were running really hard through my neighbor's backyard.
Not my azaleas!
So here you have a song. I didn't know where this pre-tape was going, because it kind of seemed like a Secretariat ripoff. You thought it was going to be like an Oscar bait type movie, but then it switches to this almost 90s kids movie aesthetic about Kieran Culkin's character, who, as he explains in his theme song, he was a skateboarder and now he's a jockey. And musically, it's ska. But I feel like vocally, it is definitely like early 2000s emo or like pop punk. You know, you've got definitely shades of Blink-182 meets ska, meets like a Disney Channel original movie. That's all I could think about. I thought, oh, I'd watch this when, you know, I'm in ninth grade. That sounds like a great movie. But yeah, it was weird. I don't know if it's necessarily going to last beyond this initial watch. I did watch it a few times, and I'm still absolutely chuckled by the premise. And I don't know if that's just because it's harmless. It's fun. You can't really hate it for that. So, yeah, you know what? You do you, Kieran Culkin. You do you, SNL. Sometimes we need this weird stuff to make it to air and not let this be a cut-for-time piece. But everyone did a really good job, and the song isn't terrible. That's all you can ask for, right?
Ladies and gentlemen, Ed Sheeran.
I took an arrow to the heart. I never kissed a mouth that tastes like yours. Strawberries and something more. Oh yeah, I want it all. Lipstick on my guitar. Ooh, the lucky end.
kiss you right. I wanna drink that smile. I wanna feel like I my soul's on fire. I wanna stay up all day and all night. Yeah, you got me singing like, ooh, I love it when you do it like that. When you're closer, give me the shivers.
All right, so let's have a talk about Ed Sheeran, shall we? I don't hate Ed Sheeran. I don't know if I've ever really hated Ed Sheeran. In fact, when he first came out, I quite liked Ed Sheeran. This was about 10 years ago or so, and he was just this guitar-playing kid who should have never become famous, but here he was, writing really quirky, interesting songs like Don't, which was my favorite at the time, and he was using these guitar loops and kind of looping his voice and doing really interesting things just as a solo performer. Things which he still does live from time to time. But Ed Sheeran never really got better than that. The potential was always there, but I always feel like he was much better as a songwriter for other people. For instance, I feel like he definitely elevated Justin Bieber and gave him something to actually work with, as opposed to the blank slate that Justin Bieber just is all the time. But Ed Sheeran himself has gone down this road where he's making soft rock songs. He's making ballads, still with that R&B tinge, but ballads nonetheless. And there's only so much you can do within this one genre. How many ballads can one man realistically write? I mean, we're not all Phil Collins, right? But, you know, even Phil Collins, he had other things that he sang about. Ed Sheeran, he's been doing sexy songs for so long. I don't know if he really remembers how to talk like a human. I turned off this performance at 58 seconds. Now hear me out. I did turn it back on, but I turned it off as soon as he said, "I want to kiss your eye. I want to drink that smile." I had to compose myself because it's icky. I did not like it. It's gross, but I had to hear what else he had to say. So I took a minute. I came back to the performance, and overall, the performance was fine. I seem to be the only one who thinks the performance was just fine. From everyone on Reddit and YouTube, apparently I am in the minority, where I was not wholly impressed by his performance or the song itself. My biggest problem with the song is that I feel like I've heard it somewhere else. I feel like I've heard it before, not just from someone else, but from Ed Sheeran himself. I could have sworn this very song was on a previous record of his, which apparently he's only had 4 records, which can't be right, because I feel like he's been around so long, it's not possible that this is only his 4th LP. But I digress. Yeah, I feel like I've heard this before, and I can't quite put my finger on it. It doesn't make it a bad song. It's just, it's a predictable song. Where's the chances? What risks is Ed Sheeran going to make? Don't get me wrong, I really like Ed Sheeran as a person. From everything I can gather, he's a nice dude. He doesn't take himself too seriously. And he definitely has a sense of humor about himself, but his music is just milquetoast. It's there for the radio, and maybe I need to dig a little deeper in order to hear the real Ed Sheeran. This song could very well be a personal song, but I don't know what it could be about. Please, Ed Sheeran, don't kiss my eye. I beg you, don't do it.
Once again, Ed Sheeran.
This is a dark parade, another rough patch to rain on.
say this is a cause for celebration. Hip hip hooray, though. Photographs and sepia tones, so still the fire's barely fighting cold. Alone. There are times when I do your ghost, just when I'm almost letting go. The cards were stacked against us both.
After the last performance, I definitely had very low expectations for what this next song would be. And I gotta say that Overpass Graffiti is definitely not what I was expecting. This is a genuinely fantastic song. This is what I was talking about, ladies and gentlemen. This is what I want to hear. It's not adventurous, but it does feel like only Ed Sheeran could have written this song. And it feels like it's coming from a very real place. Not to mention, it has an absolutely fantastic hook that you just heard. Easily one of the best hooks that Ed Sheeran has ever written, which is saying something because, like the guy or not, you definitely remember his songs. He's very good at writing melodies, at writing hooks. And so to say that this is his most memorable, it really does say something. I wish I would have wrote it. It's so good. I don't want to gush too much about it, but yeah, it's so beautiful. I will always love you for what it's worth. I mean, who among us hasn't said that to an ex, even if just in our own minds? Hey, just so you know, I know it doesn't mean anything to you, but there it is. I'm laying the cards on the table. So you can tell the rest of the band is really enjoying themselves. The background singers, which were there during the first performance as well, background singers on SNL stage, they are back with Ed Sheeran. And I've been really liking this trend of more fuller bands coming to SNL. Actual bass, guitar, piano, background singers, sometimes horns. It's been a really nice touch, and I'm glad to see more live performance coming back into live performance, if that makes sense. I think it just gives an artist something more to feed off of than if they were just going off of a track, or if they just had the drummer and maybe a bass player. And I could hear Ed Sheeran's guitar in this one, which was really missing from the mix in the last one. Ed Sheeran, at a certain point, was considered one of the better acoustic guitar players. He had really good style. He had a really good rhythm hand. So I'm happy to hear he's still doing that, because it kind of, you know, with Dancing in the Dark, he's, you know, just kind of slowly strumming, and there's not really a whole lot of color to it. But with this song, you've got him grooving a little more, and the rest of the band is grooving. And one little nice touch that I enjoyed was after the performance, you know, instead of bowing or, you know, giving a polite wave to the crowd, he walked around to every single one of his band members and gave them a handshake, fist bump, just acknowledging their performance as well. They're in that moment, they weren't just sidemen, they were part of his band, and he was saying, "Hey, good job to all of you." Which just goes to show that, yeah, Ed Sheeran, for better or worse, he's just a nice guy. And, you know, that's part of why he's lasted so long. I think that despite the fact that a lot of his music has become predictable, the reason he became a superstar is A, killer voice, B, excellent songwriting, but above all else, just be a good dude. Don't be an asshole. Don't be a jerk. And you'll stick around a lot longer. So, Ed Sheeran, good job. But if I had to rate these two performances together, I'm probably going to give it the lowest score I've ever given anyone up till this point. From my recent memory, I should probably keep track of these things, right? So I really can't give this any more than a five out of 10. It's an okay performance, but Ed Sheeran's songwriting does a lot of the heavy lifting, and he's not that interesting to watch, to be quite honest, but you know, I didn't hate it. He wasn't, maybe boring is the wrong word, because he's not boring. He's putting all of their performance into his guitar playing. So a five may be unfair, but hey, that's what I've decided to give it. Once again, I'm not an Ed Sheeran hater by any means. In fact, the second song won me over a lot more than the first song did. And I'm probably going to keep listening to Overpass Graffiti. But yeah, I can't realistically give it any more than a 5 out of 10, especially coming after the Brandy Carlisle performance, which was just top-notch. This season, that's going to be the standard bearer for me, is the Brandy Carlisle performance. But hopefully we get more this season that, you know, gives it some competition. But that's going to be all we have for this evening. And yeah, like I said, there was a lot going on in this episode, and that's without even mentioning Dionne Warwick. How could I not mention Dionne Warwick in this episode? Yeah, she was fabulous, and it's nice to see a legend get some credit, and Ego Nwodum definitely earned that spot duetting alongside her. But yeah, next week we've got Taylor Swift on the SNL stage, and you know she is going to bring it. I'm so excited for that. And you know, there was a time when I didn't really like Taylor Swift, but she's my queen now, and I'm super stoked to have her back. So yeah, we'll see y'all next week. Go ahead and find us on Instagram, LAGSNLpod. Let me know what you think. We'll see you next time.